The frozen land of the Arctic, called the cryosphere, is in trouble, and scientists say industrial chemicals bear much the blame. Polychlorinated biphenyls are among the industrial chemicals that have traveled up from countries such as China, Russia, and the U.S., and have ended up in the northern cryosphere. Lois Chang reports on the problem of the pollutants that persist in the Arctic environment.
Polychlorinated biphenyls are man-made chemicals that were manufactured and widely distributed in countries like the U.S., the U.K., China, and Russia. It wasn't until the 1970s when they were banned globally. Industrial chemicals such as polychlorinated biphenyls travel from these countries and settle down in the Arctic. Crispin Halsall, an environmental chemist and professor of Lancaster University, explains how the chemicals are building up and destabilizing the Arctic environment.
Chemicals over time can deposit. They end up in surface media like marine waters, surface snow and soil in the tundra. And then they can accumulate into the Arctic food web.
Given the widespread pollution of chemicals in the Arctic ecosystem, the chemicals are building up and destabilizing the Arctic environment. Georgia Institute of Technology Professor Greg Huey explains that climate change melts the permafrost and unleashes these chemicals.
The cryosphere is relatively mobile, but as you now have all these areas of tundra, which used to be permafrost, and now they melt, you know, periodically through the year, you're going to start to mobilize things that haven't been mobilized before.
Heightening atmospheric temperatures are dramatically melting the ice in the North Pole. For this reason, the chemicals trapped inside the ice is starting to enter the environment at an increasing rate. Halsall, the Lancaster professor, says climate change is harming the Arctic ecosystem in other ways. Chemicals are contaminating traditional food supplies and creating a dilemma for indigenous people.
The Arctic is undergoing unprecedented changes. Because of a warmer environment due to climate change, and that's most exacerbated in the polar regions. So there's lots of very subtle timing of events and changes which may be affecting or exacerbating chemical pathways and routes of exposure to the marine food web that we haven't previously thought about.
Arctic animals such as polar bears, fish, seals, and whales serve as traditional food for the indigenous people. The indigenous people are faced with the dilemma of preserving their traditional diets or abandoning them to protect their health. Halsall admits that traditional diet may be healthier than the alternatives.
The country food diet is actually a very healthy diet. Overall, that country-style diet is a good one, and you should pursue that. And it also helps with community cohesion and social reasons. Because, you know, a lot of the culture of those peoples is based on hunting and the sharing of food, etc. So it would be devastating to stop that process.
Halsall argues that indigenous people ought to pursue their traditional diet. At the same time, he recognizes the potential dangers associated with it.
That's the difficulty with some of the contaminant science which is going on. You want to preserve those communities, but you also want to prevent detrimental health effects because of exposure to these chemicals.
The hunting and sharing of traditional foods such as seal, whale, and fish have been practiced for thousands of years. This livelihood makes up the indigenous communities in the Arctic. David Nugent, an anthropologist who studied Inuit lifestyle and ecology on Canada's western coast, explains indigenous people have a community approach to food.
There are three powerful obligations that everybody has with respect to food in particular, but other things as well. And one of them is the obligation to give. Now, let's say you don't want to give. Tough. You must. But not only must you give, you must receive. So if I offer something to you and you say no, that's really, really inappropriate. Right? because that would also violate the spirit of reciprocity. So that would be as bad as me not giving. If you turn away something you've given to me, it's like, well, here's what you've said to somebody. You've said it. That's it. Right? Nobody can afford that. Right? So not only must you give, not only must you receive, you also must repay. And that keeps the cycle going. So if it was just you and me giving and receiving, they would stop there.
Lois Chang, Emory News Now.